Hiya girls, we are Barney and Lukey and we are the hot young visionaries behind Truffle Pig Wigs.
And this is Cliffhangers, the unofficial, unrequested and unhinged RuPaul's Drag Race recap show.
The views and opinions expressed on Cliffhangers are from a couple of women who just love drag and have zero real business judging it. If you are not a fan of red hot acidic critique, turn back now.
Introducing to the stage, it is the reigning queen of Clapham. It's Miss Tia Coffey.
Hello.
First things first, congratulations on getting Alan Turing on the new £50 note.
Oh, your impact.
So great.
I think some people actually think that was my fault. And I'm like, absolutely not. Like, nothing to do with me. That's a real thing. But also just like, how iconic. We have an actual like queer icon on like British currency.
No, but actually your impact is bringing Alan Turing to these 15-year-olds that watch Drag Race, actually bringing him to the forefront so now that people know who he is.
Right? That was the point.
That's incredible.
I did not know. My boyfriend had to tell me. He schooled me.
Her het boyfriend. Can you believe?
Oh.
He's an ally. Right.
That counts. That's one of the letters. Yeah, people actually, like, people know who Alan is. And that's like, that was the whole point. That was the purpose. That's why I did it. A controversial outfit. Some people love it. Some people hate it. But either way, the conversation happened. Yeah. And I was like, work. Now we all know who Alan Turing is. And also exactly. Naomi Campbell.
I think it's important and only fair that they actually put you as Alan Turing on the note.
Hard disagree. Disagree. I actually, like, literally, ignore the cracked screen, but Alan is literally... Oh, you can't see it because I did the virtual wallpaper. He's my...
Oh,
wallpaper.
Cute.
Genuine obsessed. Genuinely obsessed.
Yeah. And such an awful tale as well. Like, a reminder of how awful the government is.
Right. And that's, like, that's the, like, whole thing for me is, like, actually being able to represent him in full drag on the BBC after like how he was treated, how he's been persecuted in the past just because of his sexuality. It's like a clear reminder that our rights are only there if we continue to fight for them.
Exactly.
So relevant at the moment as well, the government trying our last nerves these days constantly, aren't they?
And it wasn't even a long time ago as well. This was like just after the war. So it's like, this isn't some like yesteryear tale of persecution. It's like within this, it's crazy. But
literally
brought to the forefront for all these young children.
So. Yeah, exactly that. And I got to wear a jazzy suit on TV, so that was nice.
Yeah, and the most iconic meme of the season. You cannot swing a dick on Twitter for seeing that meme every 2 seconds.
I wish it was like intentional, but like basically every single runway presentation that I did was me in my head being like, right, I'm going to be fierce like all of these fashion bitches on this season right now. And then I hit the runway and I'm like, fuck, why am I doing the Macarena? I hate my life. I'm panicking. Okay, let's just get off the stage.
But that's why people love you so much. You're just Tia doing Tia.
Yeah, it's the anxiety and insecurity just really comes to the forefront. Yeah, relatable.
That's showbiz.
Yeah, literally.
Okay, we need to ask Tia, as East London queens, the East London Clapham beef, tell us.
It's so real. Like, I genuinely meant that when I said it. No, not... What am I talking about? I watched that back and I was like, who are you? What are you saying? It's like sometimes, you know, obviously, like, the good thing about our season is that I feel like it was very real and genuine and, like, everyone's personalities. But, you know, once in a while, you might say something that may have been constructed slightly for entertainment purposes. No, I do not think that East London queens can't perform. Like, what a ridiculous statement to make. Absolutely. Look at Bimini doing headstands left, right and center. Crystal with the angle grinder. Like,
we thought they might just be like, look, you're from one geographical location, you're from another, like, can you just pretend you're angry at each other? And that's where it came from. just the
No, it wasn't even that. I think just like, because that was like the first day, like before we'd walked in and all of that kind of thing. And I think I was just like really like feeling like oats, trying to be like sassy like when we were recording the thing. And I was like, yeah, I'm a bad bitch from Clapham. Yeah, like absolutely not. None of that. Do not stand by that as a statement whatsoever. And really probably lashes my eye on. Thank you.
So apart from all these lies, how accurate do you feel that you were portrayed and your drag portrayed in the show by production? Do we get the full tier experience?
Oh, absolutely. Experience, I love that. Yeah, absolutely. I think it was pretty honest and pretty truthful. I mean, it was pretty realistic to what I do generally. As you can see, because I mean, the standards were a whore is here and I'm just wearing clothes as best I can, which is
at least not H&M though, am I right?
Well, do you know, funny thing, I didn't realise it, but watching the episode back, the next episode when Rue's doing the walk around for the snatch game, I'm like sat there with my little bomber jacket on. It's from H&M. So that was a full moment of being like, ha, she told me not to. And here I am, just sporting her least favourite brand directly in her face. Yeah.
Also, an ASOS jacket was so celebrated on the runway. Like, it's real. It's real picks and chooses, you know?
It's styling choices, though, isn't it? Like, at the time, I was like, Astina in ASOS? And then I watched it and I was like, yes, bitch.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
Like, you can't argue with it. It was correct.
I even thought that at the time, I was like, sure, like maybe it wouldn't have been my personal choice, but I thought Jo Black looked quite good in that dress. It was more the boot. It was more the styling of the whole of it as a look.
It's been auctioned off now. I think they raised like $4,000 for charity or something. The infamous pink shroud.
Still available for that raffle. You can still buy a ticket to enter the raffle for Jo Black's H&M dress, raising money for Plastic Vegan. Hello. Swipe up.
Lovely. And that was, I'm sure someone was like, it's like a 1999 dress. So if they make like thousands of pounds on it, gorgeous.
Yeah, gorgeous. It'd be a perfect moment. But it was an accurate portrayal of my drag, I think, because I like to do like stupid things. And also like not like, you know, break the bank, because like we're not out here on stage earning like millions of pounds for performances, like,
and we're not winning 100k either, so
yeah, that too. I'm not spending thousands of pounds for a badge, guys. Maybe I should have done. You live and you learn.
How it seemed from a viewer, you came and did what you wanted to do. That's what it seemed like. It seemed like you were at peace with what you put on the show, which is not always the case.
Yeah. I mean, I think there were a lot of critiques of like my runways and things like that, like particularly on the sewing challenge. And I was like very nervous about that episode, because I was like, Mama, I don't know how I won that lip sync against Astina. I don't know what had happened. Like, I don't know how that is even conceivably possible on this earth on this day. But I was like very excited to like watch it back. And I looked at my outfit and I was like, actually quite proud of that. It's disgusting,
stand by it.
But like I made it myself and that's good for me, because I just didn't have the sewing skills available to me at that time. But we
did you try to learn before you went? Were you like, right, let's do a whistle stop tour of sewing, or just that?
Yeah, so I learned how to sew one dress, like one particular style out of like fabric. And then I worked really hard on like unconventional materials. So there's me like plaiting bin bags to like make like straps and like all of that kind of thing. So I thought I had a plan for the unconventional. And I was like, if there's fabric, I can make this one dress. I am 6'5". So when they give you a box of like meter square bits of fabric and I've only learned how to make a gown, I don't know what I'm doing from that point on. Like, Lawrence obviously made like a floor length gown out of two different things and all of that. I didn't have those skills. I was like, I need one solid bit of fabric. I've learned to do it this one way. And I just didn't have enough fabric other than
that. You
don't
want like a patchwork bloody quilt, do you?
No.
Exactly. But then I ended up looking like an 80s prom reject. So swing the roundabout.
If you still stand by it, you still stand by it.
Yeah, we're very pro 80s in this house. So all good for us.
Gorge. I mean, I I'd maybe tweak it a bit now, but I'd fully wear that. She was camp.
Yeah. Jeff
Hunsley, that's fashion, right?
So would you say the sewing challenge was the one you were scared of the most going in?
Yeah. Other than like countless layers of like insecurity, I would say the sewing challenge is definitely the one that I was like, not this. Yeah, the rest of them were just fun. I mean, even the sewing challenge was fun, to be honest. I think I just attacked every single challenge by being like, if it all goes tits up and I get sent home, I was here, like, and it's just like incredible to have had the experience. So like, particularly on that day when I was in the bottom against Cecina, I was like, this is probably the end of the journey, but what we're gonna do is like cap it off by showing everyone that we can still have a fun time and we can still perform, and I'm not gonna panic because this is what I love doing more than anything. So I'm just gonna like try my best to like keep up with Astina's like pure goddess level talent.
It's so difficult, then, isn't it, when you see queens like at the end when they're performing. It's, there's so much riding on it, so it's so stressful. But it's like you said, it's like, this is what you do. Like, enjoy it. Like, fuck up the performance. Have a good time. But it's like, for some people, it's just too stressful. And you kind of...
Yeah. But it's different areas, isn't it? Like, obviously, like, you know, some people haven't performed as much, but they've really sort of, like, focused on, like, the look and, like, have that sort of, like, pure, like, Instagram energy, looking gorgeous all the time. Me, I... look okay, mostly tired, but like I focus like on the performance aspect of stuff. So like I think that's what's good about the show, is it showcases like different skills in different areas, and then at the end you end up with someone who's like offering the full package.
Were there any challenges that came after you left that you were really gutted you didn't get to take part in?
Every single one, like me being like I practiced with unconventional material, so I was like, I felt ready for that challenge. The comedy challenge, I was like, I'm ready. And also like BeastEnders. Like the
Who would you have wanted to be in BeastEnders?
Oh, literally any of them. Like honestly, like all of the parts, I was like, okay, I'll do that. That's a bit of a challenge, but that seems fun. Or like, yeah, I think probably I would have maybe gone for Tace's role.
Yeah.
Because that was sort of like very, very camp. I think, was Tace wearing...
Karen Mitchell. She had the big blonde wig.
Yeah.
Mitchell, sorry.
Mitchell. Far too beautiful to be in a
set. Yeah.
I needed to see her roughed up. I needed some age, something. Mm-hmm. Some liver spots. Well,
that's the thing. I think that was Tace, like, roughed up. I'm just like, beauty and grace at all times.
Must be nice.
Literally. Yeah,
I don't know that feeling.
In that lip sync for memory, like, people going off on Twitter being like, oh, like, did you see her eyelash was just, like, slightly coming off? Like, oh, it looks so vulnerable. It was like, what? this is not reality.
That lip sync, I think, is the first time ever on Drag Race that the camera has done like a soft, like pull focus at the end as Tace like stunningly walked away and the camera just like blurred into like a soft focus gorgeousness. I was like, you did, that's what Tace did. No, that has never happened in a lip sync before. But Tace just looked so pure beauty that someone suddenly in the camera crew decided they were shooting a full music video and went down.
Like, put it into black and white. So gorgeous.
Yeah, right? Oh,
how do you think you would have done on the makeover challenge if it had happened?
Oh, terribly. awful. I had prepared for the makeover challenge, and my preparation was entirely based on attempting to do things that the judges couldn't argue with. So, you know, in the finale where we all walk out, I'm wearing, like, a pink catsuit.
Yeah. That's homage to Ru.
Yeah. So I had a pink one and a black one, and I had big blonde hair and big black hair. So my plan was, like, it's meant to be family resemblance, but, like, as gay people, we get to choose our family. So I'm dressing me as Ru and whoever it is as Michelle. And I was like, if you hate the outfit, you wear it at the beginning of every episode. So not my fault. So that was my full plan, is to just be like, but I'm dressed as you. So right? That's fine. Like,
that's a smart move. But like, you're really criticizing yourself. So
yeah, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you put me in the bottom two?
Was it hard to hear the fashion critiques? Being that RuPaul's outfits were pretty shoddy this season.
I mean, flaming hot garbage. Garbage. Absolute garbage. It's all right. We're not bound by a contract, so we can say this.
If you want to just say no comment, that is fine.
No, it wasn't difficult from the job. The critiques, when your fellow contestants are critiquing you, at first it's like, whatever, you're not the judges. And then after, because we had a 7-month break, after like basically a year of being told by other people that you're basic, it's like, okay, I'm very tired now. But like when it was like one-on-one with the judges, I was having a camp time. I was like, no one else in this room can speak over me because they're just talking to me, so I can actually like have a conversation with someone. So like even Michelle being like the moment on the sewing challenge, I was like, that's fine. It's like I already know that this is not a great outfit. So like, go.
You were so good at that. Like if ever there was a bad comment from either the judges or the girls, like straight away you've like turned it into a joke, and like it just seemed to just not really faze you that much, which was nice. You were like one of the funniest people just to hear the confessionals and stuff.
You were the narrator of the season. That was you.
I mean, those were the moments that I really loved because it was like one-on-one. So when we were doing the confessionals, that was just like me, like, and the producer, and then like talking to the judges. Like those were honestly my favorite moments of the whole thing. Cause I was just like, just having a camp old chat, aren't we? Just having a nice time. I actually quite liked being critiqued, weirdly. That's a bit like masochistic, but like, yeah, I was into it.
More time in the light. Yeah.
What's that? What stands out so much as well with the British queens is the British queens can talk to Ru and the judges in a way that the American queens can't.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much ease. Like, you actually seemed like you were having, like, a good time and you could chat to them and have a bit of back and forth.
Yeah, like, as peers rather than, like, oh, anything you say, I'm so scared kind of thing.
Maybe because there's no prize.
Well, I think the judges quite enjoyed that because it's, like, you know, Ru's favourite thing the whole time is always, like, she just wants to like laugh and have a good time. And like I think with the British queens, we're just like, yeah, it's just campus tits, like let's just like have a nice little chat with RuPaul while we can, because that opportunity doesn't come a lot. Like she texts me sometimes, but you know, she never really voice notes back, so like that was the main opportunity to like have a chat with her. So like embrace it. If you're going on a future season, just chat away. Just have a camp time.
Yeah. So today in the studio, we've been bumping outside in. And we're wondering if you've got any more upcoming projects or exciting things, maybe with you or the girl band that you want to talk about, where we can see you.
I wasn't like ready for any promotional things, but Outside In is available.
Oh, we can't see it. Oh, Cheryl. Cheryl,
what are you doing? I'm going to keep working on music because it's like, I absolutely love it. It's like a massive passion of mine. So like, hopefully there'll be, well, not hopefully, I literally know I've already recorded one of them. There will be more music coming. So me trying to be like vague and being like, oh, like stay tuned. No, it's so happening. I'm so mysterious. More music. Like, I can't wait for shows to come back. I can't wait for, like, all of us to actually, like, return to living our best life and, like, actually being able to, like, engage in social interaction, like, in person. Imagine. Yeah. Remember, like not greeting someone with an elbow? Remember that?
Yeah. I prefer not to go back to handshaking, though. A hug if I like you. And nothing if I don't. I'm going to stick with that.
Formal. It's make out or nothing.
Yeah.
Back to the gay way.
It's
such a bop and it's been really celebrated by, it's everywhere.
Coming in at number 35, peaking at number 34. We've done our research.
Oh, work. Thanks for that info. Facts that I probably should have had in possession.
How has it been putting it? Do you feel quite vulnerable putting it out there? Or were you just ready to put the music out there?
Oh, no, I feel like great about it. Like, it's not like that kind of thing for me is not like a sort of vulnerable moment. It's just like pure excitement because that's like what I'm passionate about, what I do, and what I'm like confident in. Mm. Particularly, probably didn't come across as confident in anything while I was on the show, but like in the real world, I actually feel quite confident about like performing and things like that. Mm. So like, that's what I was excited about, and like getting a video together in a lockdown situation with like social distance and like absolutely no resources available was really fun. I was just like, let's get creative and just figure this out. Yeah, so that was like really exciting. And that's like definitely something that I'm going to be focusing on moving forward.
Maybe is that going to be solo stuff or stuff with the girls, the Vixens?
Plug your group, girl.
I'm in a girl group called The Vixens, but also all my music will be solo.
She's doing a Beyonce.
Yeah, shout out to Kelly and Michelle.
LaToya and Latavia. Someone remembers you somewhere.
I actually, like, I remember, like, ages ago, I was, like, really interested in, like, what LaToya and Latavia were up to. And I, like, did some research, and, like, one of them was doing, like a regional production of a musical. And I was like, do you know what? Work. Like, you were in Destiny's Child. You're not now. We move. Like, do you? Yes.
Now you are the plant in Little Shop of Horrors. Congratulations.
You think I wouldn't pay money to fly over to the United States to watch a regional production featuring a former member of Destiny's Child?
I mean, yes. Well, it's right, it's right.
100%. Yeah. So, who would Tia Coffey's parents be? Who birthed her?
Doesn't like have to be male, female. They can be whatever you like.
Mm. Who birthed me? So I sort of fell into drag like by mistake. So I started off basically taking like my own shows to the Edinburgh Fringe. And then I saw this show called Saucy Jack and the Space Vixens, which had a drag character in it. And instead of being like, I'll just wait for the auditions, I was like, I'm going to secure the rights to this musical, produce it myself, and cast myself in the role that I want.
Amazing.
And like fully did that. And I was just like looking for a venue because I wanted to set it in a bar. Mm. And I'd like never been south of the river. Like I was fully like northeast London, ironically, where I was. And we just came south of the river on foot looking for venues, stumbled across the Two Brewers in Clapham, me being like, what's Clapham? I've never heard of her. And the venue manager was like, yeah, go for it. And then he was like watching the show and he was like, can you enter Drag Idol, this like national competition? And I was like, not on my own. So I got two of the other people from the show to like make a girl group with me. We looked horrific. but like we made it all the way to the final, like a national final. There were like over 200 people entered across the UK or whatever. Mm. We made it to the final. Danny Beard won that year. The Vixens came second and Something Wrong came third. Yes, Something, I beat you. Sorry. Yeah, it happens. What can I say? And that's how it all like started. So I guess like Jimmy Smith from the Two Brewers, who's the manager, is responsible for my drag. Weirdly, it's like not necessarily Queens. It's like venue owners. Angel, Blokes. Who used to come Halfway to Heaven. And then like all the Queens at Halfway to Heaven like adopted us. And they were like, so here's what you need to do. There's a thing called eyelashes that you can like... have you heard of eyeliner? Like it was literally like that level. So like Rose Garden, Tanya Hyde, and probably like Crystal Decanter were responsible for like the three of us. They sort of each adopted like one of us in a way. And like Tanya sort of
took finger painting with like face paints before or something.
No joke. I like fully turned up. We like went to like Superdrug because we were like, what's makeup? Like bought it. And I was like, we were all getting ready in the dressing room with all these other queens who had entered the competition and had been doing it for like years. And I was there with my like eyeshadow palette and like, you know, those little like tiny applicators that you get.
They're like foam ones.
Oh, the worst. Yeah.
This was like Claire's Accessories like level. Mm. And I was like putting this like gold shimmer, which is basically my skin tone. So there was nothing on my like eyelids. Scraped my hair back, clipped on a ponytail piece. You could not tell me that I was not Sporty Spice, like bury that energy. Looking a full hot mess. We still made it to the final. But like
I imagine there was a lovely sort of feather lash involved, maybe.
I am not
party convinced. Feather lashes.
Not convinced that I even wore a lash that first time.
Baby steps.
Yeah, like little. But that was like, I think that was, when did we do Drag Idol? It's like 2014 or 2015, maybe. Mm-hmm. So like that was just on the cusp of like, we knew that makeup tutorials existed on the internet, but like, did we watch them? No. Like, it was tough
before the YouTube tutorials. When I was a teenager, there was no one to copy. I just knock about with a bit of coal and hope for the best.
Yeah.
Right?
And for drag, the landscape of drag and like accessibility for it is mental now. You can literally go on YouTube and be like, right, how do I block my brows? How do I do my makeup? How do I style wigs? You can do you can learn every single skill you need online. And there was none literally of that like 3 years ago.
And it's mad. Like literally like the new drag performers like literally come out of the womb and they're like, hi, look at me. My mug is like as good as Gothy's. Like, what do you want from me? Like, and I'm like, I still don't look like that.
Who's your gold standard for face? Who are you like? Maybe it's Gothy, but who are you like? Their face is.
Oh, I feel like there's like different. There's definitely different people for like different vibes because like, particularly like on like season two, I'm like, I kind of like taste. Like, come on, like absolute pinnacle of like.
Gorgeous.
You know, like
beauty, model gorgeousness.
Yeah, exactly. But then also, like, I love, like, I'm often on, like, FaceTime to Joe while Joe Black's getting ready. Mm. I'm just obsessed with Joe Black's makeup because it's just, like, so, like this sort of, like, cartoonish, like, 20s, like, almost, like, gothic eye. And I'm, like, I'm terrified of black eyeshadow. And you're just there being, like, straight on. Like... I just, like, I think everyone's makeup just fascinates me because people do it so differently. So I'll just sit
maybe
there
you could
watch.
Do a series of lives where they're all giving you like in real time tutorials and you're doing a face with them.
Yeah, no,
a lovely Joe Black on Tia.
It'll be great. I think I might actually do that because I posted a picture with like Sister's Blue Circle the other day.
Oh yes, that's good.
And people were like, maybe you should do a series of these, and I'm like, maybe I should do everyone's makeup terribly. That's a great idea.
Another iconic painter, Sister. I love the way Sister does her eyes.
Mm.
Gorgeous. Can you help us out? Where in the Prisoner of Azkaban will we find you? Are you a Hufflepuff?
I am a
That's
Hufflepuff.
That's all I've seen. I've tried to Google it and look for images, but I can't find any pictures of you.
Because I'm an out-of-focus blur in the background. Like, I'm just not there. I think originally... I was in a lot more scenes. Like, I was meant to be in the background of a classroom scene and then at, like, Hogsmeade and then also in, like, a Quidditch match. And, like, I got cut out of all of these things and I couldn't figure out why. And then I, like, looking back on it, like, I think it's because I looked pretty much the same as the guy who played Dean Thomas. When we were, like, the same age, we were basically twins. So I was like, did they just think...
He is so fucking fit.
Oh, We aged very differently, very differently. Age 12, twins. Now, before and after, like, it's a mess. But, like, I think that's probably why I was, like, cut out of so many scenes. But if you watch the Great Hall scene, when everyone's, like, sleeping on the floor, there's a close-up of Filch walking through. And me and my friend Priz are the two sleeping bags where you can't see what's in it, but it's human, teenagers and we are them.
Yeah. Next time I watch it, I'm going to take a picture and tag you, let the world know. That's Tia's butt. Look,
just a grey blur on the floor. Very my energy.
So what is the future of Tia? What is upcoming? What do we have coming from you?
As much as humanly possible. I just want to do, like, everything, because we've all been cooped up for so long. And, like, we've had to sort of enjoy our season from our own sofas. And all the interaction we get is through, like, social media or, like, cameos. And, like, people have been so... Rephrase. The majority of people have been so lovely to, like, everyone that I think we just want to get out there and start, like, meeting people and saying hi and, like, actually being able to thank people for their support in person.
Imagine. How engaged are you with social media? Because obviously for the queens, for the Rue girls, social media can be a bit of a gauntlet. How involved do you get?
I try as best as I can to like interact and like reply to people and like always have time for the Tia bags. Shout out to the Tia bags.
Absolutely. Oh, I want to be a Tia bag.
I guess you are.
You will have to ask them if you're allowed to join the group chat because they don't like to add people.
There's a specific group chat.
Yeah, they've got a whole group chat going on.
This is our official application. If you can hear our voice, we would like to join the group chat.
But yeah, no, I try and be like as interactive as possible, but like I'm absolutely not like reading comments, reading Reddit, like don't like search your name. If you get at mentioned, go for it. Sure, I'll read it. But like, yeah, it can
Don't go out looking for things you might not want to see.
Exactly.
It's fair to say though, of all the girls, how people talk about you on like Twitter and stuff is overwhelmingly positive. You are one of the queens. So, babe, so if you do ever go looking, it is very positive.
No, I really appreciate it when I see things that I'm like mentioned in and stuff. It's really lovely. The only bit is like people love doing, I think people forget that like if you like tag someone, they can see it because people love doing their own like toot or boots, like votes on their Instagram stories. And like every time an episode aired, I'd have like 12 mentioned that was like 80% boot. And I'd go through and be like, I get it. Everyone hates my clothes. I'll get different clothes.
I'm still here though. Yeah.
Like, yeah. But I feel really grateful. I've been like really lucky. And I know that like other people like Sister has spoken about it and Lawrence has spoken about it, that they've had a more difficult time. So everyone be kind. If you didn't like something that someone did, it's very easy to just go and praise the person that you're a fan of rather
and
than...
mind your own fucking business.
Just move past it if you don't like it.
Like, in what other TV show are people like, oh, yeah, this is going on. It's like, hold up, let me get my phone and tell them directly. Let me get in their inbox and tell them how I feel about this.
I didn't like Lynn Scones very much on Bake Off, so I'm going to let her know she's a fucking bitch. Yeah.
Get me her email. Like,
literally, like, I posted something like ages ago about, like, just be nice to people. And, like, one of the Bake Off, like, people were like, oh, it's not just Drag Race. Like, I've literally had death threats about cake. And I'm like,
who?
Not this. Like, absolutely not this. Like, the madness. It really is. But like, it's quite easy to uplift people without, like, bringing other people down, I think.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, who would play Tia in the film of your life?
Oh, yeah.
Oh. Like, in my head... it would be like Amanda Stenberg, who played Rue in the Hunger Games.
Oh, love her.
She's just so like gorgeous and wonderful now. But like thinking about it, like I really enjoy like her activism and everything that they do. But like, I think they're just too like fashion forward for me. So I think maybe I'd just be more realistic and go for like Miranda Hart or something like that. I think she'd be able to fall over really well. And like
who would play Lawrence?
As in you, not Chaney.
Oh, I'd like Lawrence Chaney. Probably Lawrence Chaney as Lawrence Chaney. I feel like really enjoy that. Who would play me? Oh, good question. And things that I should have thought about in my life. I love like doing that thing where you're like casting like shows out of, I always sit on the phone to like someone and like I'm just talking to like Vinegar and I'm like, yeah, but like if we did like a stage production of Six the Musical, like which queens would play who, like that's it.
That's always whenever someone starts dating someone like a friend, I'll be like, who would play them in the film of their life? This is very important. What energy are they given?
Yeah, literally. Or like when you do that thing when you're like, oh my God, like which of the cast of Friends would we all be? And like you always end up with Ross, and I'm like, why am I Ross? I'm always Ross.
Yeah. Why are they all white straight people?
Yeah.
How is this our choice?
I reckon Phoebe's Pan, come on.
Yeah. Phoebe's
Pan. Yeah, that's fair. And they had like Charlie. And then they made her a bitch, which I wasn't here for.
Yeah, of course. So gorgeous, Charlie. Mm. So gorgeous. So who would play Lawrence?
Great question. I was doing just stalling for time as long as possible so I could like think of potential answers. I think I would probably, like, if it's like a Hollywood film and I want to feel like my gorge fantasy and just like level up to that Hollywood standard, then I'm probably going to go for like a Jeffrey Boyer Chapman or something like that.
Oh, lovely. Just, well, he's free now. He's given up on Drag Race Canada.
Believe? Very available.
I feel like it sets such a horrible precedent, though, that he's gone, that basically the fans were like, get him off. He's the worst. We hate him. And now he's gone.
Yeah.
The all these like emboldened fans are going to be like,
well, let's call them trolls. Let's not call them fans.
Well, yeah, fans. All these trolls are going to be like, well, see what we did with Jeffrey? Like, next time. But then also he needs to prioritize his mental health. So
yeah, absolutely. I think it's like the best thing for Jeffers to do. But also I just think it's weird because I look at it and I'm like, is that the first time that like a judge has got the villain edit? Like,
yeah,
we talk about like villain edits from contestants all the time and I'm like, did that just happen? Did we just watch this? It did happen. Yeah, some needless critiques from Jeffers, but you know, your life is your own, live it. They all seem like they're friends with each other.
I didn't even think it was that bad.
Me neither. I feel like Michelle said some awful things in her time. Like, you just, that's why they're there. It's TV.
Yeah, I feel like if I'd have been in front of Jeffrey, I'd still have had a camp time. Do you know what I mean? That moment when he's like, do better, I'd be like, I've already done my best. Like, what do you want? How do I do better?
Not very good, Jeffrey.
Yeah, do that's better is just not a helpful thing. Like, do better how, please? Just more bullet points there. Yeah, okay, maybe not Jeffers. Might be a bit controversial. I don't know. I think I just like mix things up and might get like Millie O'Connell, who played Anne Boleyn in the original cast of Six, because I feel like if it was Lawrence the movie, it would be Lawrence the musical. So
are you a musical theatre gal?
Love it. My fave.
Yeah. Is that what you trained in? Are you a...
No.
She's
no trade. If anyone's casting, yes, I have 3 years of musical theatre. Yes. But no, I did. I studied French and German for a year, and then didn't want to go on a year abroad, and so changed to philosophy and theology, and then didn't finish my degree. Yeah,
so I might
be the only drag queen like in the UK with like a background in like theology, like religion.
So after a year of no gigs and no nightlife, can you tell us one of your best nightlife memories of yesteryear?
For London.
Yeah, I don't remember most of them. That's the issue. I don't know. I feel like I just always have like a really great time and just like enjoy the experience. Like always trying to avoid too much drama when it comes to sort of like nights out and things like that, but then also have been known to be very stroppy on stage with like Larry audience members. And I'm like, you are
it's
a problem.
Woman's right to be stroppy. Yeah.
Exactly. Very that energy. But I just like, I think I just miss everything so much overall that I just have this like nostalgia of being like, oh, remember Jaeger bombs? Weren't they delicious? No, they're disgusting. But like also, I would like to buy a round of Jaeger bombs for everyone right now. Like, that's just the energy that I'm living my life with.
Where is your favourite place to go out in Clapham and why is it Inferno's?
Inferno's. Inferno's. It's just absolutely not Inferno's. No offence to Inferno's. We love Inferno's, but... just always a bit suspicious when you have to get an ID scan to go in somewhere. I'm like, what problems have you had here? yeah, it's definitely the Brewers. Always the Brewers. Forever. That is home to me. It's like, it's very comfortable and something that I like wish I'd known sort of like growing up is that like when I was a lot younger, sort of going into like queer venues was really nerve-wracking because I was like, I'm a baby gay and I like don't understand and like what's going on, and like now it's like this is familiar. I will know half the people when I walk in there. It's comfortable. Like you will never see me at a B at One ever again in my life unless they're offering a sponsored post, in which case I'm available. But like that's like the energy. It's just like so comfortable. It feels like a second home and I can just like roll in there. Even if no one's there, I probably will find like someone that I know, even if it's the bar staff. Like, it's, like, gorgeous. Love it.
And also shout out to the Grand.
Yeah. Clapham. Although they do have those scanners. Yeah. So probably a lot of stabbings, I'd say.
Yeah. No, it's sensible. But like the Grand is like such a great place. I filmed like a Eurovision musical called Eurobeat, Pride of Europe. There on
when
Friday.
Can we see this?
Yeah.
Oh, it's available for streaming on streaming platforms next week or this week at some point. I've tweeted it. It's summer. But yeah, it's such a gorgeous, gorgeous venue. And like the quantity of sort of like they have events across the board, but like so many sort of queer events at the Clapham Grand. So it's such an important part of the South London queer community.
Yeah.
Mm. And luckily for us, a friend runs it, and it's now basically the only venue that all the Rue girls go to as well in London, which is crazy for Clapham. Like,
thank you for that free box, Ali Wolf.
Yeah, just like forever. Like, they're always performing there now, rather than like anywhere mm-hmm. north of the river, which is jarring for us East London queens.
But convenient for me.
Yeah, we'll make the trip.
I'll do it. Pop in, you can come around to mine, we'll get a round of Jager bombs in, and then we'll go over to the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you like to shout out one person in the drag world, give or a spotlight to someone maybe a little lesser known?
Oh, I don't know about lesser known. Oh, we're very much, I don't think I can do one person. We're very
you
much
you can do more,
do as many as you want.
I believe, okay, we're supporting Chio on their Mr. Oh, Gay England journey. Is that the right title? That's the right title.
Yeah, Mr. Very Gay much UK, I think.
Mr. Gay UK, yeah. That's very much something that we're putting our support behind at the moment.
Go and put some actual, like, written support on Twitter, because we need to wipe out all of this bullshit that's been written about Mr. Gay UK. So if you're watching this, please head over to Twitter and go show your actual written support for Chio, because Chio needs to fucking win. And there's so much bullshit. Somehow, obviously, all the trolls of Twitter have found it, and we need to go show some love. So go write.
100%. And you can comment on their Instagram post as well, on their page.
Yeah.
Who else? Lily Snatchdragon and Mark Anthony have a lovely business, a rhinestoning sort of like jewellery, and also gorgeous bow ties, which I'm a big fan of. I've got like a pair of their earrings somewhere. I don't know where they are. They're amazing. They're really nice earrings. Marked and Snatched.
Cute.
Which we love supporting, like, queer businesses, particularly during this time, because I don't know if anyone's noticed, but who's been earning money? No one. So if you're going to spend money, support the community.
Yeah, for sure.
Just want to shout out everyone. I don't know.
Got nothing but time. Out.
I love them all. everyone's amazing. Just
everyone.
Like,
all the gals.
Yeah, all the drag everywhere, support it, love it. It's, we're not just limited to, like, we were on a television program about drag. Like, there is just so much drag out there that's incredible and interesting and creative and political and makes a statement, or is just camp and fun and silly and traditional. Like, such a range. Explore. You, listening, explore, look around.
And also Drag Race is just showing such a small, tiny corner of drag. And we in London have so much more. But hopefully, maybe if rumours are to be believed, hopefully that will expand. And we've obviously your season had its first non-binary people. So hopefully casting, that's going to embolden casting to just get more and more diverse. Hopefully.
Yeah, well, our season had the first conversation about non-binary identities. I think on season one, I believe one of the contestants does also define that.
Oh, apologies. This is true.
DDC.
But apparently it was just not shown.
Yeah, but it's good that conversation sort of like happened.
Yeah.
And
so many groundbreaking convos on your season. It seemed like almost every week it was like real issues and like not done in a cheesy, eggy way.
Non-produced. Mm. There was a lot of
it. Yeah, because it just all happened like quite naturally. Like, you know, like all the chats and things that we had and like realizations that were made, like the conversation about sort of like non-binary identities, like Tace and Estina having that conversation about sort of black and POC representation, in particularly like sort of queer POC representation on screen being limited. Like, I think we did we did good.
There was conversations that were like destigmatizing STIs, like even Taste talking about like loneliness and like romance within being a drag queen and stuff. There was so much that was like,
I loved hearing from Cherry about her traveler background as well. That was really great. It was
the best season of Drag Race, full stop.
Isn't it like, it's literally mad. I actually feel a bit emotional just like thinking about like all of that stuff, because like It just feels so incredible to be part of like this group of people who have had like, we've all had this experience together, but like had like such important conversations within the realms of like entertaining at a time when like people really needed that entertainment. I don't know. It's just like really weird to know that like I'll be able to like forever go back and watch that and like remember and like relive that experience that we all had together.
And it was such a culture shift as well that it was on the BBC, who are historically transphobic, for them to have a conversation about non-binary identities with two non-binary people just speaking about their experience that wasn't like a debate, and it wasn't like someone else being like, oh, but...
Let me tell you how you're wrong.
Yeah. It was just like, when has that ever happened that there's just been two non-binary people that have just been speaking and supporting and sharing their experience with each other that didn't feel heated? It just felt supported and like full of love.
Yeah. And I think we maybe like living in London and sort of like the people that we're all sort of around a lot, I think we take for granted like those kinds of conversations. But like having had that on television, like I know like particularly one of the sort of older queens who sort of brought me up actually ended up sort of like posting a status sort of saying I never knew what that was called and I'd always felt that. And sort of like, because I might cry because it actually makes me feel really emotional, because like Ginny and Bimini had that conversation, like someone who's in their 50s was like, that's what it's called. And like, managed to like discover themselves. Why am I getting really emotional today? I don't know.
It's fucking beautiful. When I was watching it, I was crying. I was like, this is such a moment. And for it to also be like happening in Drag Race, which again has historically excluded trans people, excluded women, like it hasn't always been the most inclusive platform. For that to happen on there was like, I really felt with this season, it was the queens. It wasn't like RuPaul's Drag Race. It was like the casting. They had such fucking great people on it that it just felt like the show was about them. And the judging and everything was sort of incidental. It was an afterthought. It was about the queens that were on the show, which is why it was fucking the best. Sorry, I keep on swearing just because I'm...
We bloody fucking loved it, Tia.
It was emotional.
It was gorgeous. I was just happy to be there. To be honest.
And since your meteoric rise to fame, have you had any new like celeb follower which is just like blowing your mind? Like, okay, the first thing that came to my name was like Borat, but maybe not. What? Sacha Baron Cohen, but just like someone very random or very famous, you're just like, what, you follow me?
Oh yeah, this is like recent as well. So Bimini and I are followed by Ariana Grande, which is like,
Pony on now.
Right. Thank you for following me, Ari.
I know you're not following like, horse hair in my mouth.
Isn't that mad?
That is crazy. That's
big time, especially because now she is the artist with the most songs lip synced to since last Saturday.
Full of the facts, aren't you?
Yeah, she's on the Instagram looking at facts.
Yeah. that one's mad. But I was like, I find them all really exciting, and it's like really bad because I'm like such a nerd when it comes to stuff like that. So I got like a message from the guy who played Hodor in Game of Thrones. I was like, work, yes.
Is he the big giant one?
Yeah. I was like, I'm here for this. Lol. Thank you. Just all of them. Like, I get really excited when I'm like, oh, H from Steps, yes. Like,
anything to do with Steps is just like iconic.
Yeah. And also just like, I get really nervous as well about like the girls from like other seasons like messaging. So like just like casually chatting away with like Priyanka from Canada and like Scarlett as well, Scarlett Bobo. And then like also just like American queens and stuff, I'm just like, I watched you on the television. And they're like, yeah, I watched you on the television. What's your point? And I'm like, it's not the same. It's not the same thing. Sorry.
Priyanka was actually someone that I was thinking of when I was saying earlier about like the overwhelming positivity. I remember seeing Priyanka just being like, Tia Coffee is my life on Twitter, just like going crazy about you. It's like, yeah, it's so strange because it's just, they are just queens as well that have just been on telly. So you're all the Ru girls are just as one now.
She's very leggy. Maybe we can see a Priyanka and Tia kind of back-to-back buddy cop kind of situation in the future.
Yeah, I'd like to see it. Maybe. There might be something.
Can you believe RuPaul's obsession with you becoming a model? It was mentioned in every single episode on the telly.
Like, she wants to cut your legs off.
You are sample size. It was like,
oh yeah, bury that. It was bizarre, wasn't it? But I can see why there may be. I can see why she thought that I was gorgeous.
We see it.
I think she could see like where the elevation could go, and that I hadn't quite like reached my like sort of third Pokemon evolved form situation. Because like we're literally like the same height, we're like both like the same sort of like skin tone, all of that kind of thing, similar body,
the raven color.
Yes. So like I can see that she was looking at me and was like, why don't, like, you're literally like a young me, so why are you dressed as an ice cream cone? And I'm stood there being like, because it's camp, because it's a fun time.
Ru, this is what happens when you make your own decisions about what you wear. Like, do you your own face. Imagine.
Well, I need to get better at that. That's what, like, I'm working on the makeup game at the moment, because I'm like, literally, like, I mean, I cried about it on the show, but like being stood next to Tace and just all the time, like Tace is there like.
But that's just an unfair comparison. Like,
yeah,
the beauty of Tace is like unparalleled. There's never been, I feel like the majority of Ru girls would be like, I can't stand next to her.
Yeah, she's being held like the most beautiful Drag Race queen of all time, isn't she?
God, deserved. Imagine just like even being close to having that title. Can you imagine?
Top five.
Yeah.
I'll like, do top 20 UK. I'm...
I think I probably made it into the top 22 of the UK. Tase like literally is like so incredibly stunning. Do you know what? I'd love to like get Tase to paint my face and just be like, let's see how you deal with this. That's your skills.
It has been an absolute pleasure talking to you, my angel. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
No, thanks for having me. It's been a camp time.
Truly. It's been an emotional time.
Yes. And you've got your pod starting with Vinegar soon. Is that correct?
Has that been announced?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing that's happening that I totally forgot about until Wild tweeted it. That is literally a thing that's happening. There's lots going on. Like, I'm just excited because I think everyone's doing, like, the most and has loads of exciting projects coming up. So just follow everyone, look at their Twitters, see what's going on. Also follow other drag performers who weren't on Drag Race. Yeah. Just
local
do everything.
Queens.
Yeah, everyone do the most. We're doing the most.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much.
Hopefully we'll see you in a box at the Clapham Grand doing Jaeger Bombs sometime soon.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
It's all we've dreamed of.
Yeah.
Amazing. Right, we'll see you in Clapham. See you next time.
Bye.